Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. I'm Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom NLI Radio. I'm a hypnotherapist and a NLP practitioner. Tonight, we're going to open your mind and we're going to open your hearts to live a better life. Kate Ellis is my guest, and Kate is a certified clinical counseling hypnotherapist in practice for nearly 25 years. Kate has been trained by the American Association of Hypnotist Examiners, the Hypnosis Foundation of Chicago, and is certified with the National Guild of Hypnotists, the Association of Counselors and Therapists, Brookside Counseling and Hypnotherapy, and a member of the Arizona Society of Professional Hypnotists. Kate recently accepted the chair of vice president of the Arizona Society of Professional Hypnotists. Kate instructed at Scottsdale Community College, former facility was Marine Valley Community College, and St. Xavier's University in Illinois. She has taught a variety of courses, credited and adult continuing educational courses, including personal self-development, creative visualization, self-esteem, assertiveness training, self-hypnosis, and relationship development, along with behavior modification, including smoking
cessation,
weight management. That word wouldn't come out tonight, Kate. Addiction, food,
I know
people,
how it goes.
And substance and anxiety, panic attack, phobias, and depressive disorders. Clients successfully achieve correction of anxiety, panic disorders, procrastination, depression, including remission of many stress-related disorders, including Crohn's, colitis disorders, pain management, and inflammatory condition. And without any further ado, we're going to open your mind. There's a couple things I really want Kate to expand your mind with. Without any further ado, I want to welcome Kate Ellis to the show. Welcome, Kate.
Oh, thank you very much, Ron. I'm delighted to be to be interviewed by you. Absolutely.
All right.
And so what would you like to open their mind to?
Creative visualization. And you can go to thehealingquest.com. But creative visualization, because that you got to have the vision before you can have the dream.
And that word, you know, visualization, a lot of people think that you need to be able to see pictures in your mind in order to facilitate creative visualization, but it's really an oxymoron. When people speak about creative visualization, that really means using all of the five senses, because your subconscious responds to things that you think about, whether you visualize them, you feel them, taste them, hear them, feel them. Everybody works in a little bit of a different way. Some people are more audio, and they hear things, and they're able to learn that way, and so through hearing. Or some people, again, they can see pictures in their mind. So that word is just a little bit tricky with that. But if you can use any of your senses, such as, say you're using creative visualization, you need a new car. And maybe you can't picture that beautiful car in your mind. Can you smell the interior of that new car? Can you feel the smoothness of that new car, you know, how they are in the showroom? Can you feel the wind on your face when you're driving that car? So you can use any or all of those particular five human senses in order to achieve creative visualization.
You know, you just hit on something that I talk a lot about. The senses, in order to have your life, in order to expand your life, all the senses have to be involved. To me, listening is first, because the wisdom comes from your daily life. How do you feel about that?
Yes, absolutely. And I kind of look at that like your desire is like the firecracker, and the emotion and feelings that you add to that is the fire that lights it and allows it to manifest in your life. You can imagine things until the cows come home, or smell things until the cows come home, but unless you have an accompanying emotion or feeling in regards to what it is that you want, you will not get anywhere. You'll be spinning your wheels.
And, you know, and that is very true, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's where a lot of people get messed up, where they say, you know, I've tried creative visualization or these treasure boards or treasure maps and stuff like that, and they have gotten, I've done affirmations, and they've gotten me absolutely nowhere. And the most ingredient that's lacking from what they're doing is having that accompanying feeling, such as how does it feel to own that new car? And having that emotion, that smile.
And, you know, and also seeing themselves in it. But, you know, how is it people are afraid to get emotionally revved up, to put an emotion with the feeling to really rev up their dreams, do you feel?
Well, that's a very good question. It comes between the borderland of expectation and anticipation. There's a difference between expectation and anticipation. When you expect something, it's in your mind like a done deal, that you expect something to be done. And so when it does not occur, often people feel disappointed. So they do not want to set themselves up for yet another disappointment in life. However, if you have that anticipation, that sense of knowing that it will come around in its right timing, like you may say, I want this new car by September 1st of 2013, and September 1st comes and goes, and you go, see, it didn't work. But that may not have been the right timing. What if finance rates were going down in October or February of the next year, and that's more in liking with what your needs are? Because the thing about the creative visualization is that your subconscious and universe both conspire to allow this to come true for your highest good. So if it's for your highest good that the finance rate is lower at a different time because your subconscious knows exactly what's going on in your life as well as the universe, then it will manifest in the right time. Make sense?
Totally, to me. But the word expectation has failure with it and past ingrained pain. So how do you think, since somebody starts expecting it, the ingrained pain and the ingrained imprint has more power than their sire desire from past
experience? Well, again, that's the nature. I'm sorry. Yes, and that's the nature. And what I attempted to explain a little bit earlier is that there's a vast difference with expectation and anticipation. Basically, expectation, it has all those, you know, it can have those accompanying feelings, but if you anticipate with an open mind and know that things will work out for your needs and your highest good, then the resultant positive emotions or the accompanying emotions. I really don't like to use the values of positive or negative because that's really a perspective. Because you may think it's negative not to have your car by September 1st, but actually it's more positive for you if it comes at a different time that that supports your needs. See what I mean?
You know, it's kind of funny how all the universal sources in your subconscious mind actually bring things to you when they decide it's the right time for you, not when you decide.
Well,
you know?
Yes. Yeah, well, I agree and disagree just slightly with you, Rob. Basically, it does, like I mentioned, the universe and your subconscious conspire to meet the goals of your highest good. So the timing is essential, especially if, say, you're living on a budget, and to have that extra half percentage point in financing your vehicle will simply just, you know, cause more problems. Universe knows this. Your subconscious knows this. And so it works towards, again, aiming towards the best fit for the solution.
And that's go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I had done this particular experiment with when I was married with my husband, who had absolutely no clue about creative visualization or even anything spiritual or anything. He was a very pragmatic man. So I asked him one day, because we were in desperate need of a car, our second car had gone down, and I says, look, do me a favor. Let's just try this experiment for 2 weeks. suspend your beliefs and do what I say. And so I had him imagine, again, the smell, the feel, the feeling of having that car. And I says, I want you to imagine that there's a big bow on top of it, because we can get this either through finance, but basically I was saying, let us manifest this as a gift, that somehow it comes to us free and clear. And so he did. We did this experiment, and we did it for 2 weeks and put the energy out there. And again, you don't want to overdo it. The universe knows what you want. You don't have to incessantly do this. You do this for a period of time, and then you let it go and allow it to gather the energy required in order for it to manifest in your life. And the craziest thing happened. About 6 weeks later, my father-in-law had called my husband and said, come on with me, we're going to buy you a car. Now, my father-in-law was very tight with his money, and he's a very good man. As a matter of fact, he just passed away yesterday. But he was a very good man, but he didn't believe in making things easy for his kids. And completely out of the blue, my in-laws did not know that we needed a car. And completely out of the blue, he took him down to a dealership and bought him a brand new Toyota. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. God and the universe, the mystical sources in your subconscious, they have the perfect time. I mean, you put it out there, but they understand it more than you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, absolutely,
I mean,
absolutely. And it's not just today. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Part of what you're saying is almost like putting it out there like it's something or something is beyond your control. But really, it's within your control, within your ability to create your life. Again, it's the combination of working with universal energies as well as, again, your subconscious. Your subconscious is ruling, as you know, as a colleague and of a hypnotherapist, the subconscious is ruling everything. The subconscious allows you to smoothly operate in this world. And so it also knows more information than the conscious mind, because often we will filter things out because we don't want to face them or deal with them. And basically, the ego mind. Yes.
I don't use the word control in my life. There's no word of control in my life. I facilitate it to my desire.
Okay, well, that's an excellent word, too. Well, I was just kind of delineating the difference between the subconscious, which facilitates these emotions through this world. Just like when you get in your vehicle to drive every day, you don't have to remember each and every time you get in your car how to drive the car. You simply stick the key in the ignition and go. And that's how the subconscious facilitates a smooth operating in this world.
That's it, because I like to facilitate, but you know, that's very true. It's when you quit really paying attention is when things go awry. Do you feel that?
Yes, absolutely. One must pay attention.
And that's the biggest thing. And it's just a deal. And the web and Kate's website is thehealingquest.com, and she's got some stuff on there, but there's something I really wanted to touch on that you have on your website. It's called Troubled Teenager. And to me,
yes.
And to me, that's where it is. Parents really lack the ability to communicate with them because they try to tell them rather than listen. Do you feel that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we all go through these stages in life, and it's often difficult for a parent who has been raising and telling a child what to do, how to do it, and when to do it, to begin to release some of that control over to the wisdom of their child. And so it's an age-old push-pull, you know, between parent and child in order, you know, who's in control here.
Boy, that's a true statement. And, you know, I was a stepfather, and I messed that up so bad. It's unbelievable. I didn't realize
it. I don't know if
it.
You can mess that up, Rob. Yeah, I mean, I think it comes up messed up already, because a kid is often not going to listen to what's considered a secondary parent, no matter how wonderful you are.
Yeah, but I could have listened better is what I'm trying to say. And I could have, if I knew what I knew now and knew then, I can't go back, but I'd understand more on how to listen and talk, communicate with him.
Oh, I understand that I'm, just being as an, yeah, well, I completely understand you. I think all parents feel that way, Rob. I really do. I mean, I think that my child and I grew up together in a lot of respects.
And see, that's where the world really, to me, Kate, the world lacks communication and listening skills. And how do you feel about that, Kate?
Imperative. They are absolutely imperative.
Yeah, but we lack the skills to do it today, even though we're supposed to be in all this technology. Do you feel that way, or do you feel that there is communication and listening out there?
Well, you know, I think it's like anything else in life. It's a learning curve that we all come to a certain point where you learn how to put on your listening ears and really pay attention to whether it's a business partner or your romantic partner, whether it's a child, and paying attention and not taking things for granted. I think often that's what we do, is that we hear the same thing or what we believe is the same thing over and over again, and we're not paying attention. So it is definitely a learned, valuable skill to learn how to listen and then how to also respond to the other person in a way that it's coming from the self. Often I find when I'm working with people is that they'll kind of play the blame game. They say, you make me feel this way. You make me do this. And I'm like, hold the phone. First of all, we can't make anybody do anything. If that was true, there would never be a drug addict in this world with somebody who loves them. If we could make them better with love or with the right words, it would happen, but it doesn't. So first of all, you have to own responsibility for your feelings. So when you're communicating with somebody, instead of saying, you make me feel this way, you come from a point where you're saying, you know, this is how I feel about this. And if you say, this is how I feel, you are able to not raise the defenses of another person, because as soon as you become accusatory or blaming or faulting somebody else, your defense mechanism goes up and goes, all right, they're ready for a fight, you know? So if you can always come from the place of I.
Yeah. And so here's the thing on that, Kate, and this is what I was getting to. The parents go in, and I did this, and I seen my dad and mom do it. They go in with an I tell you instead of I'll listen to you, and they keep asking to get to the root of what it is, because what they got in trouble about isn't what was bothering them. Do you feel that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, let me ask you a question, Rob. When you have a parent that brings a child into your practice, who has the real problem?
The parent, usually.
Absolutely. It's always the parent, because the child is going to mirror in their own unique little way what the parent is doing and or not doing. Just like, you know, any sort of attention, you know, it's the age-old sort of behavior manifestation. When a child is doing good and you don't praise them and validate that they're doing good, often they will go into another behavior until they get their attention, and then you happen to break the vase, and all of a sudden the parent turns and yells at you like, what the heck did you do? That is validation. A child doesn't know whether it's positive or negative. The child just knows that somebody's paying attention to them.
And in this high-speed world, Kate, and, you know, everything is, we're always on a dead run. There's so many school activities and people working, you know, a lot of times one works one day and the weekends. How do you feel about this? This is something, if we shut down all the businesses on Sunday and had a family day where people had to communicate, what do you think would happen?
Well, I think that we would come back to our basic values, especially here in America. I think that Well, not that I think, but what I've observed is that now that both parents are working or there's a single parent, there's no time for the child and to teach them life skills. And so when the child goes out in the world, they don't know how to properly behave themselves. They don't even know how to properly dress for an occasion, such as if you're going to, you know, if you're religious and you're going to your church, you certainly don't show up in shorts and flip-flops. But parents don't have the time to teach these values. Or right now we're having an obesity crisis, especially with our children, because they're eating fast food and the parents don't have time to teach them how to properly fix a meal and how to cook it and what you want to get. You want to get some fresh vegetables and fresh meats and stuff like that. You don't want to get frozen, processed, prepared stuff. So I think that if there was a return to Sundays where things had, you know, shut down for the most part, I think it would help bring families together. I think it's just awful nowadays that commerce is put ahead of family values, you know, when the holidays come around and the parents are working those, you know, extra late shifts or having to go in after or before Thanksgiving dinner. I just think it's terrible.
You know, I this is something I pay attention to, and you can tell me whether I'm off base or not. But ever since both parents started working, the criminal system has expanded. Do you feel that, Kate?
Well, I don't feel it. I can see the statistics right there on the wall. It's awful. You know, that we're one of the most industrialized countries in the world, and we have the highest prison rate in the developed countries. It's unconscionable.
Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I was finished, sir.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If somebody chose to bring their teenager and be the parents and come to Kate Ellis, how would you be able to expand the amount of unable to communicate and listen, do you feel, Kate?
Well, I would teach them mirroring techniques and learning, again, learning how to listen and how to communicate. One speaks and the other person listens, and then vice versa, and then to ask questions. And also, you know, the best parenting techniques is when a parent feels that a child is going astray or doing something wrong, instead of saying you're wrong and you're heading down the wrong road, actually it would be better to ask the child, well, what do you really think about what's going on? Do you think that this is working for you? And to give the power back to the child so that they can begin to make decisions. Because, you know, our foundations as children are created by the age of 4 or 6 years old. So if you were a decent parent around that time and gave your child a good foundation and good values, then there you don't have anything to worry about. Then you can work from that. It doesn't mean that you're a lost soul if those weren't, but it'll take you a while to kind of work through that. But, yeah, basically the ability to, again, to be able to listen and then not to turn around and to blame the child, but to say, you know what do you think would be the best way to correct the situation?
Now I'm going to give the women all something to stand up and applaud. Over the last 13, 15 years, Kate, I did the most impossible thing. I've actually fissured, well, I ain't got it fissured, but my male ego. And I feel for the male, that ego and having to be right and having to be in control. I mean, I'm not talking about control with the this, but I mean, you know, strangling control where everything has to be. How do you feel that the male ego, it's in men and women, but is really some of the root cause of all the challenges we face today?
Fear. Fear is the root. Fear. fear is the root cause of everything. If you have a male who is overly controlling, often it is a fear of failure. And so they have to keep their thumb on everything.
Boy, is that right?
I know a guy that could look. Huh?
Yeah, I know a guy could look in the mirror for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'd be me. That'd be me. But no, really. And if you look
well,
at
you know,
ankles,
that's what I... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You had something good to say.
Well, what I was going to say, in my practice, that's actually what I deal with. In my practice, I specialize in anxiety disorders. And the central core issue with an anxiety disorder, whether you are experiencing anxiety, panic attacks, obsessive compulsive, post-traumatic stress, insomnia, procrastination, those are all expressions of an anxiety disorder. And I hyphenate that word, disorder. The reason why I hyphenate that word is because an anxiety disorder is actually a disordered thinking process. And what you're doing is you're pushing that button of your fight or flight response, which is actually your ally. The fight or flight response is 200,000 years in the making, and it has kept us safe. So when we were, you know, humanoids 200,000 years ago, and we came to a precipice, and there was a drop down, this fear would come over us, and that fear saved our lives. At that time, it said, if you jump off this cliff, you will die. Well, that's not a good thing. Fast forward, we're in the 21st century. The fight or flight response does not always apply. Say you're being threatened by your boss and all of a sudden you're having panic attacks. That's an inappropriate response. But your subconscious doesn't know that. It doesn't know that this isn't a tiger getting ready to eat you or you're getting ready to fall off of a cliff or anything like that. And so that's why I call it a disorder in one's thinking. And you know what? It's very easily taken care of.
You know, and that's also, I wrote a book called Fear is My Friend. But anyway.
I remember seeing that, yes.
But here's the thing, Kate. This fear is coming down from the leadership of the world, too, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes, to a certain extent, not only from the leadership, but also from people around. I'm on Facebook a lot, and there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there. You know, the world is going to end, or the government's controlling this or that. Not that that's not an untruth. But it's an exaggeration of the facts. Just like our government, there's an exaggeration or an omission of certain facts.
And you know,
you agree with that?
Oh, Jesus, do I. But here's the one that gets me. They all run on family values, and then when a family law comes up, they all veto it. That's the one that blows me. That's the one that flatters me. I just had to... Because what you said was so true and so honest that it's going to take honesty to get us out of this situation, don't you feel, Kate?
Oh, absolutely. Honesty is always the best way, no matter what situation it is, whether you're dealing with a government and facing them with the facts and stating, look, this, you know, we demand to know. As well as in relationships or anything else, it's honesty. And I bet in your book, you know, your fear book, you talk a lot about that. You know, if you take fear and you put it on a scale, on one end of the scale is fear, and on the opposite end of that scale is excitement. You have a choice of what you're going to experience. You can experience it as abject fear, or as excitement and adventure into a new experience. Do you agree?
I was just going to say that's probably the most prolific thing I ever heard. But it's true. It's fear.
Yes,
is just
it is.
An emotional attachment ruining the excitement, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is. Or, well, you know, the emotional attachment, what is that? But that's based on perception. And perception rules the game. That's a lot of people think hypnosis. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No,
well,
you
I was going to say a lot of people think that, you know, hypnosis is some sort of mind control sort of deal, and there's still these old fashioned mythologies and stuff like that. And really, hypnosis is simply a shift of perception, just like that fear and excitement scale that I mentioned. You can decide how you're going to experience it. A long time ago, when I was a brownie, which is right before a Girl Scout, we had gone on a field trip, and we went to an amusement park. And in this amusement park, we had gone on a roller coaster, this old wooden roller coaster in Palisades Park in New Jersey. It's no longer in existence. Anyway, it was the first time I was on there. I was in a car all by myself, and the guy didn't come to check to make sure that I was chained in, and I didn't know any better. And so the roller coaster goes off, and as we went down the first decline, I lifted off my bench into the air, and I held on for dear life to that metal bar. And yeah, through the whole ride, and I was just, they had to pry my hands off of that bar. You know, and when the guy seen that I wasn't strapped in, his face went completely white. I almost lost my life. So the next time, years later, I went to a fair and there was a roller coaster. I'm like, absolutely not. No way. I'm not going to go there. And you can build up this fear and say, absolutely not. And then there was this one time when I was with a group of people and somebody that I happened to like, and it was like, come on, let's go on the roller coaster. And they kind of goaded me into it. And I got on and I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, and I didn't want to embarrass myself, but I was strapped in and everything, and you know what? The experience was pleasurable, and I had a wonderful time. So now I have a choice on how I'm going to perceive the next roller coaster I get on, either my past experience of fear or my experience of pleasure.
And that isn't that what life is? It's just what you choose, pleasure or fear?
Yes, it is. It is. It is a choice. It is always a choice. And go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish because we're out of time. We could talk for 4 hours,
yes,
I think.
I think so, too. Fear is always a choice. If you realize that, first of all, basically, again, like in my practice, I specialize in anxiety disorders. The root issue is I don't feel safe. I don't feel in control in my life or in this world. Once you realize that is simply a perception and you can change that, that is when you gain 100% of your authentic life back, and you can live to your fullest potential.
And I really got to kind of apologize to Kate. I only give out her website once or twice. It's ahealingquest.com, and you go there and see Kate is a very beautiful lady and also very wise. I'm going to repeat that, ahealingquest.com. I got so wound up in this conversation, enjoying it so much, I forgot to promote Kate. I apologize.
Well, thank you very much.
And she's also got a pretty voice. And there's also something on here I wanted to get to, and we will have Kate back because we've got to get to this. Personalized CDs or MP3s, you can go to thehealingquest.com and look up that and get a hold of Kate and expand your life. Thank you, Kate. Give the people some wisdom, and I'll close out the show.
Oh, thank you very much. It's definitely been a pleasure to be a guest on your show. I really enjoyed your questions. Realize that for the most part, you are 100% safe in this world. You create your own reality, and you do that through your perception. So it's your choice. If you're going to look at something and be fearful or just realize, you know what, all of us have our own unique talents and abilities. Nobody is better or worse than you, and that we all put our pants on one leg at a time.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is wisdom with integrity. I want to thank Kate and all the listeners for being on the show. And we will have Kate back because we've just started to expand the world into a forward-looking attitude.
And thank you
that's
so
what
much.
We're going to do. Thank you, Kate.
It sounds
and
wonderful.
We'll talk to go ahead.
I says thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed your questions. Wonderful.
I enjoyed you as a guest because Kate gave you down-to-earth basic wisdom to expand your life. And that's how simple it gets. Thank you, Kate.
It is simple.
And all the listeners.
Uh-huh. Don't push the river.
It is. That's right. And good night, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.